Wait. After AEW Dynamite, after WWE NXT, and you're still feeling the wrestling. Whether you're watching live on Twitter, on Facebook, on the YouTubes, whether you're listening to us in your podcast ears, this is another awesome wrestling night. What up, everybody? I'm Kev Kellum. That is John Clark. This is the WrestleZone.com post show for AEW Dynamite and WWE NXT. Plenty to cover, but if you're watching live, get your comments on screen. First time viewers, I am calling you out. I demand your comments. I demand you step up and give us your hot takes. I demand you give us your big comments about the big show. I know John Clark not fond of that. He is, of course, biased towards AEW. I am pro all wrestling, and your comments are going to be popping up on screen. We have people already commenting about the big betrayal in the overrun segment tonight for NXT. A ballsy betrayal, if you will, from Adam Cole, baby, who does not care about your balls. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Share the link. Let's see how big we can get tonight's show. I want to know what you guys are thinking about AEW Dynamite signing former WWE champion, The Big Show, Paul White. That was a huge news today. We did a whole show about that. Obviously, we'll take your comments about it. And we'll talk about the hype for AEW Revolution in just a few weeks. Shaquille O'Neal is bringing a Shark Attack to AEW Dynamite next week on TV. We had some really, really fun action from them. Seems like more of the women's tournament is coming together for AEW. And they've really raised the stock of their women in many different ways and had a really, really strong main event that set Lance Archer to get into the face of AEW ladder match at Revolution on March 7th. John Clark, what are the big notes coming out of NXT this week?
Some things to know tonight. We had a big segment there from Adam Cole. Mm-hmm. Karrion Kross was a prominent character on the show tonight there. Him and Escobar got into it there. We continue with the build-up between Io Shirai and Toni Storm in the women's division. And not to mention, we also have a women's tag team championship match coming up next Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I think it was originally advertised for next Wednesday, but there was a little bit of a mistake they made on programming last week where they had said that it was going to be tonight, but it wasn't tonight. It was always supposed to be next week. So that was a little bit of a miscommunication there that kind of slipped across the air on Monday. Otherwise, besides that, just, you know, continuing to build up the stuff that they've been doing the past couple weeks and just looking good. Real quick, they did not reveal anything for an upcoming takeover or pay-per-view, so we still don't know when the next one of them is going to be yet.
Do you think those could kind of pop up to in the road to WrestleMania? I mean, well, there's still plenty of time with WrestleMania. I mean, how soon did they announce Vengeance Day? It felt like it was maybe just about a month or so before we got there. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on WrestleMania week. Is WWE going to add something that week?
So we have Fastlane on March 21st, and then obviously we have WrestleMania the 11th, and we have Easter the 4th. So NXT might fit perfectly in that March 28th time frame. So let's see if they announce anything for that Sunday the 28th, or maybe they go back to their Saturday ways here, and obviously they can't go WrestleMania weekend, but I'm sure the door's wide open for, you know, what they want to do here.
Absolutely. New people joining the show. Shout out to you guys. Shout out to the diehards who are with us all the time and people coming back for the first time. Want to know what you guys think here. Obviously, we'll talk a bit about the big show. That was the huge wrestling news of the day. But WWE had some huge news as well. They just announced their largest class of recruits. And some of these are the who's who of independent wrestling. Most notably, Taya Valkyrie, former Impact Knockouts champion, the longest reigning Knockouts champion, is officially with WWE. The son of Rick Steiner of the Steiner Brothers and Parker Bordeaux, who's become quite the sensation on social media because of his resemblance to Brock Lesnar. But many, many other big names in that list. We have that full story at WrestleZone.com. But let's jump into AEW Dynamite. First, we'll cover NXT. Obviously, the big news today, before we even talk about Dynamite, was a huge announcement on social media today that Paul White, formerly known as The Big Show, and a former WWE champion, many people thought a lifer with WWE, as I discussed today earlier on a special show. Just want to get your take on it, John. How shocking was this news? People did not expect this to happen. Apparently, more details coming out about Paul White negotiating a contract with WWE in late January. That contract came up. They couldn't come to terms. Apparently, he expressed some frustration about that. And that deal ends, and he doesn't have the non-compete. He was not released. So big signing, big acquisition, you know, for lack of a better phrase, by AEW here.
Yeah, so as far as the shock value that it gave me, definitely very high. I think the first that I had seen something was from one of those meme pages on Facebook that you can't typically really rely on for information that they posted about it. So I immediately go to Twitter, you know, search his name, and then lo and behold, there it is, the news. And definitely very shocking to me, mainly because, like, it's like out of the blue, you know, like it wasn't really known that he was up for a contract negotiation or anything like that. And one thing I want to say is, well, there's two things I want to say before I give my actual opinion on it. The first is that people are saying, you know, how AEW is coming in and scooping up people from WWE. Sure. And then people were saying, well, nobody from AEW wants to leave and go to WWE. But let me just remind everybody watching something. AEW is only 2 years old. So everybody that's signed with AEW does not have an expiring contract right now. Now, I fully expect that when we do eventually get to that point,
WWE will be
a key player in grabbing some people.
And also, it's great for wrestlers. It's great for wrestlers because now they have negotiating power. If they have TV time, they can go and say, like, Maybe AEW wants me, you know, in terms of a parallel company that's spending a lot of money. I've heard plenty of points about this, though, that I didn't even get to express. I read more about it. AEW has a lot of, you know, fairly expensive guys. You know, you have Chris Jericho saying this is the biggest deal he signed. Jim Ross wasn't going to come there at his age and do this for cheap. Sting is not going to wrestle up, but you're going to pay Sting money to have him be there. But the clever thing about them, though, is they have many people wrestling for them that are not under contract, that are on per date deals, that don't have guaranteed money. Also, AEW moves a lot of merchandise. Their fans buy a lot of merch. I've heard some people even say that AEW could have already made their money back on Sting with the amount of merchandise that he's made. I've talked to people at Pro Wrestling Tees who say his T-shirt sales, and he only has like one or two shirts with them, are astronomical, like incredibly high. Those are deals that they're really benefiting from. Plus, they have the video games coming out. It makes sense for a guy like Big Show who wants to perform and do things to want to go there. I understand it.
Of course. And another important point I want to mention was actually first brought up by WrestleVotes today when they said, you know, look, the line of communication is open and everybody is listening to offers right now when it comes time for new contracts. Not just these legends. Like, this news should hammer home that everybody is listening right now. Yeah. Everybody. Mm-hmm. When the time comes up for contracts to end, like we just had heard the news that Cesaro signed a new contract. I would not be surprised if AEW was in negotiations with him at some point.
Or at least made a play to get him.
Exactly.
And there's a window where they can do that. You know, like there's a window where you're allowed to do that.
So as far as my actual opinion on it, I mean, obviously I'm going to skip the whole part of you guys obviously know that I think it was a clowny move because, you know, I favor one over the other. But let me explain a little why. He appeared at Raw on Legends Night. And let me just say that.
And that wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
Was
like,
less than a month.
But realistically, two things. One, did people really care? And two, did he really bring in ratings? Like, and here's what I'm getting at.
John.
No, listen, John. Listen. Let me finish. Okay. Here's what I'm getting at. Is he really going to now, everybody's like, he's a huge deal because he's on AEW. Whenever he was wrestling with the Viking Raiders in July of last year, and people were like, he needs to go away. He's old. I'm tired of this. And now all of a sudden, Big Show's going to bring the ratings next week. Come on.
So is your thing like you think he's a credible star? You just don't think maybe he's a drawing star. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that people didn't care about him before, but now it's like he is suddenly
you're talking about the audience's double standard with it, or at least the Express double standard.
But mostly that, but also the fact that now people are saying he's a draw when before he wasn't a draw, but now he's a draw.
I'll counter that. I absolutely think he's a draw. He's a very, very special, special performer. That is undeniable. You know, he is legitimately one of the physically largest professional wrestlers in the world. That is special. That is something very, very special.
And read the last comment we got.
Hang on. I'm catching up here. I want to finish my point here.
Go ahead.
Big Show. Oh, Big Show versus Sting, sponsored by Life Alert. Iridian Fiero. That is mean, because you're talking about him being an older fella. That is mean. You are mean, Iridian. And I want to say that I know Iridian, and I don't know her to be mean.
He's offended.
All right. Yes. Someone's going to fall down. They're going to press their Life Alert.
Finish your point. I want to hear what you're going to say.
Yeah, I think here's the thing. This is a guy, WWE even did a documentary about it more than a year ago, who put a lot of work into his body in the last few years as a large man who has some very serious genetic challenges as someone that big, and got in shape and did some great things for himself and went through hip injuries and wanted to have he wanted to go out his own way. This guy was, and also was still a company guy. Was like, yeah, I'm not booked on WrestleMania. The night after WrestleMania, I will gladly go out there and wrestle Drew and try and make him set him up for glory here, because he's a company guy. Now in January, and I'm not saying WWE did him wrong. I'm not saying that. But WWE didn't come to terms with him. So what is the business move? You know the tradition of wrestling. You start, all right, we know you're not re-signing with this, but you're going to make your commitments. What you're going to do is you're going to put over guys on your way out. So what happened? Randy Orton cut him a promo and cut him down to size, right? Randy Orton's hot in an angle. Make sure Randy's hot. Make sure who's the prominent star is hot.
So you think it was known at that point that he was for sure that was probably going to be his last appearance? You think that was known?
Reportedly, words are coming out. You know, Fightful, good friends over there, good on them. They say that this was known in WWE circles last week. At least that if he wasn't going to sign a new deal, that he was out of the picture. And also his Netflix show got canceled. And that was produced in cooperation with WWE. This is a guy who's done a lot of big things with WWE. I heard someone say, oh, he's never going to be in the Hall of Fame. Absolutely not. He can absolutely be in the Hall of Fame.
So let me ask you one question before we move on from this topic.
Sure. Because we got to get into Dynamite. We're 12 minutes in the show.
That's this. Sting did not get them to 1 million viewers. Do you think the Big Show will get them to 1
million? Here's the thing. He probably got them to 1 million viewers. You're talking about overnight viewers.
Okay, but you know what I'm talking about. When we see those ratings Thursday afternoon from Show Buzz Daily.
John, this is what, are you, John, are you reaching? Are there straws around you? Because you're reaching for straws right now, buddy.
Answer the question.
Did he get 1 million? No, but here's the thing.
Okay.
I still think he's a massive draw for them.
More than Sting?
Yes. Is Big Show a bigger surprise than Sting? Is that
more
what you're
draw.
Asking?
Or is Sting going to be a bigger draw?
Sting's a bigger draw. Yeah, it's fine. But I mean, but the thing is, Big Show going there is a big deal. Big Show is going to make some big bang for them. He's going to do big men business. I'm going to keep saying big.
I agree. But all I'm saying is Sting
was
going to
have a match with Shaq, and it's going to be a big deal. The match
Moxley was a big deal. Jericho was a big deal. I'm just saying, like, everybody was a big deal. And then now it's like.
You're saying this one isn't as big as those other ones.
I'm saying give it 4 weeks and it won't be a big deal anymore.
Okay. It won't feel as special. Okay. So the bloom will come off the rose.
Case closed.
Case closed. Wow. Iridian Fiero took the gloves off there with that comment. Thank you, Iridian. Check out her show, Rest Friends. Hello, Rest Friend. Good person. Enjoy her. She's done some great things for us here at WrestleZone as well. Let's get into AEW Dynamite. They did a lot of great stuff on this show. I thought this was a very, very strong show. It didn't have the problems that I see in AEW that I've told you about before. You know, the things I don't like about it is when it's indulgent. There's too much stuff going on in the ring, and there's just run out city, and there's always some post-match beatdown thing. They didn't do that this week. It was pretty strong, pretty centered, and focused in great vignettes and a lot of escalation to the upcoming pay-per-view event and a show they're calling Crossroads next week on Dynamite, a special kind of like pre-pay-per-view show. It's going to feature Shaq in the ring. Opens with Jon Moxley versus Ryan Nemeth. This is the brother of Dolph Ziggler, who's being booked as the Hollywood Hunk. He gets the insert promo saying he's going to get the part of the winner. You know, because he's an actor, he wants to get the part of the winner. And they do a bunch of, puns about it. But he gets brutalized here by Jon Moxley to get him ready. Jon Moxley wins. This sets up the promo in which he basically reads off lyrics like it's a heavy metal album about the exploding barbed wire death match that him and AEW champion Kenny Omega will have in their third big showdown for the belt. No, this is their third match, their second one for the belt. Obviously, Kenny Omega using his nefarious manager, Don Callis, to steal that title back in December. And Moxley, he shouldn't want to do this exploding barbed wire match because it could be a trap, right? And also, it's exploding barbed wire death match. You should want to do it because of that reason. But he says it creates these images in his mind, fire, blood, torture, stuff you see in vintage Japanese wrestling magazines. So that was quite the promo. It was quite revved up. This sold the match, the idea that he's addicted to this type of violence and this type of challenge. So obviously he has to do it, even though he knows it could be a trap and be very, very dangerous. They also had a promo later on in the night with Kenny Omega being really weird and hitting a hammer backstage where people were welding together the set for this exploding barbed wire death match. And they talked about landmines and all these different things. What do you think of the hype for the exploding barbed wire death match?
So just so I understand clearly, this is just instead of, so the ring ropes are covered in barbed wire and the,
they made it clear that yes, there will be barbed wire. There will be explosions. There'll be landmines.
But they didn't specify the logistics behind it, you're saying?
No, because, I mean, you kind of have to, like, you're not going to have physical landmines. You're going to have working explosions around the ring. And I'll say the more I've looked into this, if you haven't checked it out, the exploding barbed wire death match to look up is Onita versus Terry Funk. It's insane. It's an insane match. It's also the tease. You're not going to see a bunch of stuff in it. The way this match works is it's going to build up to a handful of big moments, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with them doing a Memphis Carney thing, but there's going to be blood, and someone's going to get hurt, and this is going to be violent. If you want extreme violence, you will get it from this match. It is up John Moxley's alley. It's surprising that they're doing this for a second time. Their first match was like a lights out. They had the barbed wire bed. They did a bunch of crazy
stuff. Lawsuit.
they had to do a lawsuit in Baltimore, right? So I think this one's crazy here. Mr. James Espanto Fernando Taguay is always texting in the show. He says, congratulations to Big Show on securing that bag going into AEW. He definitely signed some money contract there. Michael saying Omega Moxley at Full Gear 2019 was good. Yes, that was the crazy match we were talking about there as well. Daniel Soto say they will pull in people with blood. Are people going to be drawn to this violence? As we mentioned last week, the idea is Shaq is the draw next week for mainstream fans, 4 days out from the NBA All-Star game, the big sports superstar. He's featured in a match. They did some vignettes with him tonight. Did not show him in the ring, but he was around a ring while Jade Cargill changed. So they do want to save that for television next week. And he'll bring him in, and then they'll sell the big blood and guts match of exploding barbed wire death match on that show and really try and lure people in. So it's a combo. This is a good plan. I don't mind it to see where it goes. Let's see if the payoff here delivers.
You mean they're going to try to sell the pay-per-view, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. So okay. The idea is Shaq brings in new viewers, sell the pay-per-view on that big go home show, which the logic makes sense. And it's kind of why I also think maybe casual NBA fans may not feel like, oh, I want to pay to see Shaq on pay-per-view. I'll watch him on TV. So it's a very clever, calculated risk by AEW. And if they pay off with that big barbed wire death match on pay-per-view and casual fans try it, you may win over a lot of new fans or maybe those lapsed fans that come in and out of wrestling. Let's see what they're going for here. And doing it just about, you know, just a month before WrestleMania, that's when a lot of casual people start watching wrestling again. this one, Daniel Miller. How triggered is everyone because Old Show is going to AEW? Old Show, he's an Old Show. Hey, when did aging become the worst thing you can do in life? No, I want to make this clear. When did aging become the worst thing that you can do in life? This is professional wrestling, okay? The idea that you somehow, I get it, some people shouldn't be in the ring, they're a little bit too old or something like that, but some of your favorite wrestlers in their prime when you were watching them were in their 40s. We're in their 40s. The Undertaker did this stuff, and he had his best matches past 40. Think about that. His best matches. All that WrestleMania stuff with Shawn Michaels the last 10, 15 years, that was post-35 for him. Does that mean he's old? Quit being ageist about wrestling. Really, if people can go out there and deliver, quit holding that against them. Because guess what? I'm going to say this. some 22-year-old guy who has 30,000 people on Twitter, and a lot of people retweet his gifts and his wild moves, and look at his, he has this one little gimmick that works. Isn't he over? Not over like the Big Show, guys. Simply not. And I get where Big Show's been booked this way, and he hasn't been that, and he maybe isn't the attraction he should be, or he isn't seen the same way he should be. Seriously, give the guy a break. This guy broke his hip for wrestling. The things that that guy's been through, and you say old show, seriously, shove it. There we go. Move on. The rest of AEW Dynamite. I don't mind dunking on people. I go Nakeme Mutombo on you. No. More people jumping in here on this week's AEW. Matt Napolia, thank you for joining the show. Matt says, OMG, couldn't be on pay-per-view because of the scheduling. This wasn't some grand plan of AEW to sell more pay-per-views. Wrong. It could be that this was done because Shaq and the NBA are going to have more media exposure the week of the All-Star game to get them the rub from AEW, the same way that you want to go on a talk show to sell your movie the week the movie comes out. Oh, my God. It doesn't work that way. They can't be that smart.
So you're saying that Shaq being on AEW is so they can try to attract more viewers to the All-Star game? Or that's what you're saying, right?
No, I'm saying NBA has an increased focus. Big NBA names are going to be talked about more that week, including Shaq, who's an NBA analyst. He's going to wrestle on TV the week of the All-Star game. So people that are casual fans or fans of just Shaq are going to watch Dynamite, yeah. And then the pay-per-view will be sold to them for that weekend. And maybe they'll watch it. Oh, wow, I have a whole weekend where I'm inside. All-Star game and a pay-per-view? Isn't that cool? You know? Another reason this was moved and the pay-per-view was moved because they want to be up against boxing. I believe there's boxing again this weekend. So
yes.
Yeah, so come on, guys. It's okay. It's all right. You take a shot and it's weak.
Oh, you're fired up tonight. I'm fired up,
baby. Let's get into Stephen Chambers, Young Bucks, and the MJF Jericho match, Revolution. Macy, Sammy at the pay-per-view. Yes, Sammy Guevara leaving the Inner Circle. The Inner Circle did some nefarious things tonight. The Young Bucks came out. They were fired up. They came out earlier in the night with their mom and dad. They took a picture next to the truck with their faces on. Isn't that cool? Hey, mom and dad, pop a buck. They were teased last week by Jericho. They cut this fiery promo calling out MJF and Jericho, the number one contenders for their AEW Tag Team Championships, only for backstage to see that Jericho and MJF have smeared ketchup on Papa Buck's face and lightly push him into the truck. It was all right. Kind of hokey. I've seen better angles from AEW. They did the catch-up, for lack of a phrase, the catch-up segment after the commercial break with this. This was okay. It didn't really rev the engine for everything at Revolution like many other things in the show, like Moxley's promo and the stuff that Omega did, the other things they did later on in the show. I wasn't feeling this, but, you know, hey, I get what they're going for, right? You can shoot for the moon, but if you don't hit the moon, you know, we're going to talk for it. They were going for the emotional, you beat up our dad angle, now we're going to kick your ass. We got to give you motivation, right? What do you think of this? What are some of your favorite attack my family angles in wrestling?
I certainly liked, especially when Randy Orton was doing it quite a bit with Triple H and John Cena and stuff like that, going to people's houses, stuff like that was definitely very interesting. We can't forget Bray Wyatt and The Miz back in 2019, when Bray Wyatt was going to The Miz's house, messing with his daughter, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That was also pretty interesting as well. And then most recently, there was a lot of personal stuff that went on with Natalia when her dad passed away that they did on TV. No, I'm not saying that was good. I'm just saying at a personal level, that's some pretty serious stuff.
Yeah. And Natalia's from a diehard wrestling family. They'll do things like that. You know, they'll go for stuff like that. So it is a challenging idea to pull off. I don't know why it didn't work. Maybe because they wanted him to look bloody and he didn't look bloody. You know, and it looked kind of hokey, and everything about wrestling, walks that fine line between too over the top and just over the top enough. And you did this with somebody who's not going to get too physical. But for Young Bucks, he's a beloved figure. They have a huge online audience, just like a reality show. Those side characters that people love, you know, they love Papa Buck. He made cool music for them as well. I get what they're going for. You know, they're tugging at the heartstrings. And I just don't know if it was super effective. Now, Jericho and MJF did their part. They look like villains and dicks, right? You want to see them get beat up, and they ran off with their tail between their legs. But I don't know. It was just a bit off the mark. Is that fair to say? Just a bit off the mark.
Of course, yeah.
Big thumbs up to these segments. Britt Baker and Nyla Rose. I got to say this. Britt Baker is one of the best women in wrestling right now. Her timing is so strong. She is in the Women's Eliminator Tournament with Nyla Rose. Nyla Rose is an underrated monster. I think she's felt less than for a while now and felt like a real monster in this great, great tournament semifinal. One half of the finals are set. Nyla Rose outlasts Britt Baker. They tease putting on that lockjaw finish a handful of times. They went all around the ring. Britt Baker tried to use Reba to get through it all, but, you know, Nyla could not be stopped. Interesting. Nyla Rose didn't have a ton of Vicky Guerrero with her at ringside, so this is just really focusing on Nyla being a powerhouse again. Didn't mind it. It was a strong match and right person in the semifinals. What do you think?
I don't know. You got to be surprised that Britt Baker again is losing. I mean, yeah. I get she's already that big figure. Like she was their. Correct me if I'm wrong. She was their first female they got, right?
She was one of the first big names they signed.
So, and it's crazy to believe that she really has yet to win serious matches. You know, mm-hmm. It's almost like they're treating her like she can afford to lose.
She had that injury angle, you know. I'm just surprised. You know, I thought, you know, maybe the time was for her to do this, especially after beating Thunder Rosa. But the match was so goddamn good that it didn't settle into me. I was like, oh, wow, they didn't go with Britt, you know?
So you think she's going to win the entire thing?
Nyla, it's not exactly certain. I'd be surprised if they went they have a Joshi bracket. They have all female wrestlers in Japan. They're taping some of those matches. I'd be very surprised if they went in that direction. If they went with somebody from the Joshi side. So I think there's a distinct possibility that maybe Nyla takes on Hikaru Shida because the winner of this tournament gets a number one shot. Hikaru Shida is the current AEW Women's Champion. Maybe they come back to the match they did last summer because I thought Hikaru Shida and Nyla had some really good chemistry and had one of those better matches. And then there was this kind of peak in the momentum for the women in AEW. Sure. Isaiah Cassidy with Matt Hardy in TH2 at ringside. Matt Hardy, his big money faction. They're building up to the money match with Hangman Page at March 7th is Revolution. The winner gets the loser's quarter of profits from whatever they make in the first quarter of 2021. This match went all over the place. And I was surprised how much offense Isaiah Cassidy got here. His tag team partner from Private Party, Mark Quinn, not present. Some people looking into that here. A lot of action back and forth. Hangman Page nearly power bombing him through the table a handful of times, only for the Dark Order come out. They're still trying to get Hangman Page to join their faction, and he's like, oh, I don't know about it. And one of their members got a post-match. Matt comes out and says Page chose the Dark Order over him. Matt Hardy not happy about that. Now Hardy vows to attack members of the Dark Order that he loves and comes out and tosses number 5 through the table at ringside, the doctor's table, which always seems to be broken. The doctor needs a table, guys. So this is one of those big multi-man situations, but it didn't go all over the place. It didn't go all over the place. This one was pretty centered. Hangman looks strong going into the pay-per-view. I'll be surprised if they don't open with the ladder match on the pay-per-view. I think this could open it as well. What do you think of Hangman Page? He's a guy that people thought was going to be a champion. He was in those first big main event pay-per-views for AEW.
I think he's getting there. I know it's quite a while to say that now, but I think, you know, they have other key players right now. They're not really in a hurry. And it's almost like they feel like there's almost that obligation to elevate somebody instantly when you're signing them from, say, well, let's just say WWE. Like,
yeah.
So when they brought in Jon Moxley, they weren't going to throw him into the mid-card, you know. So it might be a little bit of a, I don't know how you would describe it. It might not be the right thing to do, but surely they're kind of building their own superstars and they're being patient about it.
It makes sense. It's not a bad idea for them to go in that direction and to take their time with it. I do think it'll mean something when he comes out of an angle like this. If the point of this is to get Hangman Page over as a big time superstar down the line, then do it. Long-term booking, I don't mind it. But they did throw you for a curveball by doing this, and really this is the third or fourth character change for Matt Hardy on Dynamite, so that's kind of wonky. But if his job is to service Hangman Page and get him there, then I'm okay with it. I don't know if Matt Hardy is going to be the in-ring performer he once was, but I certainly think he's becoming a great complementary character to the people he works with, so I don't mind that. It's some good projection here. Speaking of an older superstar working with a younger superstar, we got Darby Allin and Sting. The legendary Sting took the powerbomb last week. Very controversial. News coming out since then that he has been cleared, according to AEW president Tony Khan, that he is cleared. He is ready to go. So don't be concerned. You know, obviously some fans are expressing that a guy who had spinal stenosis and suffered that injury in the WWE ring some years ago as a featured performer who only wrestles sporadically shouldn't be doing that. You should only have him come out and do appearances and be like a manager or something, right? That's what fans say. Well, Sting wants to go out and have a match when he can do it. I've heard people say it. And I've heard other legends of his stature say that he can go out there and do it at his age, and it looks like he's going to do that. He once again got into it with Team Taz only for a video to play, and this is after a big match where the Varsity Blondes, who had a lot more offense than I thought they were going to get against Team Taz's Brian Cage and Ricky Starks. Cage is powerbombing people into the post only for them to come back from it. But eventually they get the win. Post-match video, it's Sting dragging Darby Allin in a body bag. Then Sting comes out, and who's in a body bag but Taz's son? I thought, oh, that's a little bit of a curve. And then here comes, in the fracas in the ring, here comes, on a zip line, Darby Allin into the ring with a skateboard that he hit them in the gut with because he's a skateboard kid. This is pretty cool. I don't think we need to see Sting on a zip line, but Darby Allin wants to do the crazy stuff. And if they're going to go with this stuff and the Gaga, this was perfect amounts of Gaga. This wasn't too much. They're building to the match on March 7th. They're telling you it's okay for Sting to go in there and do it. I don't think they're going to have him do anything he doesn't feel comfortable doing or shouldn't do. And I think that's why it's a street fight. You know, like, he's not going to be in there having to run the ropes and be athletically dynamic. He will take some bumps. He already has. I think that was the point of the powerbomb last week, is to show you this will be more physical than you think. What do you think of the build to this so far?
I like it. I'm not sure how much we're going to see him in competition. Mm-hmm. I don't think he needs to really do that much. You know, a few times a year I think will be ideal, and that, I think that's enough. Mm-hmm. But I think this benefits Darby more than anybody. What do you think?
It benefits Darby because he gets the rub, and Darby is someone that we've heard a lot of good things about, that TNT and Warner Media really like him, that he was one of the standouts. I also think about the thing about Darby is, yeah, he's an independent guy who came up, but he is one of those guys that was signed in that first crop of talent, and that Darby Allin feels like a guy that AEW can really say is theirs from the get-go. But then giving him the rub of Sting, who is a Hall of Famer, who is one of the all-time greats, they have a very similar vibe, but not exactly the same. You know, sure. the face paint, the look, the stoicness, the calling out people for fights. There's something special about it, and I don't mind it here. Like, getting comments here, Whitley Casey saying, I was like, wow, HBK is an emo punk. It was a cool visual, though. Yes, it does remind people of HBK did this at WrestleMania 12, I think, 1996. They did something like that. DJ texting in saying, Hangman Page will probably get the TNT championship for his first singles title. Well, the reminder, the winner of this ladder match coming up at March 7th at the pay-per-view will get to face Darby Allin. So I think this thing ends. This ends at the pay-per-view. I don't think we get more of this. So this is building up to something like this. Stephen Chambers is saying, waiting for Darby and Sting TNT title match in the future. Oh, wow. If they wanted to go a singles route, that'd be interesting. If they wanted to go that route, that would be certainly
for
something.
For sure.
Let's get into the main event. It was Lance Archer versus the very, very show-stealing Rey Fénix. They went about 15 minutes. They went right up to the window. They were up there at 8:59 my time, and they were nearly at the end of the show. And they're even saying it on commentary. I was like, oh no, the winner of this qualifies for the ladder match. And they said if both these guys get counted out, this match goes to TV time, they could be eliminated. So I was like, oh wow, this could be nuts. You know, a very, very competitive match. Lots of back and forth. Lance Archer is an athletic freak at his size. These men walked the ropes and did a flipping arm drag takedown. Also, you had Rey Fénix walking the ropes to kick Lance Archer off the top of the ropes in the middle of the ropes. That was super impressive. A lot of great high-flying action. Maybe Lance Archer doing a little bit too much of that as a big man. I've heard some people say that, but I don't care. This guy's super fantastic. Really great brawl. Lance Archer picks up the win with that big kind of like reverse. It was like, it looks like a razor's edge into like a power bomb, if you will. Very impressive. Archer is your winner. No big surprise. Some people thinking maybe Big Show would show up at the end, but Tony Khan teased this, that they were going to announce something in the 8 o'clock hour. We already knew it, though. I think this is already known, is that Big Show will be a commentator, Paul White, on their upcoming web series, AEW Dark Elevation. And he will be on Dynamite next week. So, strong episode. I give it an eight out of 10. Solid show. Definitely suggest you go seek out Nyla Rose versus Britt Baker. Fantastic match. Great one-on-one stuff. Focus. Nothing too much. Nothing overbooked. Nothing overhyped. Wrestlers working their way up. All right. I don't think you can do this every week because, you know, they set people up for surprises. I was okay with no Big Show because we got the announcement online. But maybe next week we get a Big Show Shaquille O'Neal confrontation of some kind. What do you think?
I think it's definitely a possibility they at least interact with each other some way or the other. It would just make sense, you know.
Hit the likes, guys. Let's get into NXT. It's your half of the show, John. Lay it into me, buddy. What do we get?
All right. So, pretty crazy show. Nothing really like AEW was, but nevertheless, they're doing a good job building up on their stories and making their feuds more. So, let's start with the big thing of the night, which was actually the end of the show. This segment didn't actually start until after 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central.
Yeah, this was interesting. You know, AEW, I think they've maybe only done an overrun, like maybe once or twice.
Yeah.
NXT's done this often to kind of like pull that quarter hour viewer at the end. Very, very clever thing on their side. This is odd that they went in this direction because they previously announced the No DQ tag team match this week with Karrion Kross and Santos Escobar, but they went with this as kind of like the show closing thing and then overrun with it too.
Yeah, so Adam Cole comes out. He says he's going to explain his actions. We kind of knew it was going to happen, but he started out almost like he was swerving us. So he was basically very apologetic to Kyle O'Reilly and Undisputed Era, saying that, you know, he let his emotions get the best of him. He really just wants Finn Balor in the title, and, you know, he took things too far. So Roderick Strong came out and confronted him as in, like, look, you took things too far, and Kyle O'Reilly's going to pound you. So it looked like these two were going to get into it, and then Adam Cole's like, no, dude, seriously, I apologize. Let's move on. Mm-hmm. And while it looked like they were going to settle things, Finn Balor comes out, immediately attacks both guys, but eventually Cole and Strong team up to take out Finn Balor. Cole's in the ring, giving his final, you know, look, I'm sorry. Roderick Strong forgives him.
You for what you did.
They hug it out in the ring, and obviously what happens next is Adam Cole pulls the old boom with his hand and his arm and low blows.
Crushes his nuts. Say it. A man's testicles were crushed on television. Sell it to
the moon. Look, we all knew this would end up happening. Cole is turning heel, so it appears that Kyle O'Reilly, Roderick Strong, and Bobby Fish will remain together as baby faces. With Adam Cole being the heel. Seeing Cole go solo heel, though, is an unexpected twist because I think people were expecting the rest of the Undisputed Era to come with him. This is Cole leaving the Undisputed Era. Unfortunately, this would have been a cool group to see on Raw or SmackDown, but their shelf life has came to an end on NXT. They likely will not make it to Raw or SmackDown. But Cole was pretty convincing for the most part, but he's bound to have a war with O'Reilly, but here's my question for you. What's so funny?
Just someone sending us screenshots of our show, and you and I just responded to the person who was using the old show bit with us earlier. I'm already getting screenshots from 20 or 30 minutes.
Here is my question for you.
Yeah.
When we see Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly go at each other, will one of them have the NXT title? Will this be an NXT championship program, or will Finn Balor keep it and take it to somewhere else? That's the big question heading out of
tonight. It's so odd that this is a storyline that has a lot of organic build to it. You know, you have a faction, they break up, and a beloved faction at that. This is a really beloved faction in the Undisputed Era, and they are done. Don't get it twisted. I know some people say, oh, they're not completely done. They are done. This is it. He ripped off the dog tags. He threw them down. That's it. This is over with. I thought maybe he would like unzip his shirt and have like a different logo or something like that, but whatever. And it's overcome Finn Balor as the champion. Finn Balor is almost playing the supporting role. And this whole thing is about Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole now. And I wonder if it becomes a triple threat scenario. And I really think they need to now put the oven underneath Balor, even though he's a champion, in terms of storytelling, and to get them all ready for it. If they do a triple threat, that's Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole, Finn Balor for the title. You said TakeOver. I say put it on WrestleMania. Put it on WrestleMania. You have two nights of WrestleMania. I think this is a match that could mean more than just another United States match. I mean, unless you want to do big multi-man things, the storyline is there. There will be a real, real payoff for it. And it could introduce NXT to a lot of those people that are casual that just watch that weekend, you know? Yeah, I think it could be something really, really special. And it's built up to the right way. I think it's the best storyline on NXT by far, by a pretty far margin. There's some cool things that are developing, right? But this is like the most, like, their storyline you can just immediately sink your teeth into. And if you've been watching NXT for years, even periodically, or you haven't watched in a while, maybe you're leaning more towards AEW Dynamite, this is a strong storyline to pull you back in. Especially if you're like you liked AEW at that peak it was kind of hitting in 2016, 2017. This would be a great way to pull you back in.
Sure. I agree there. Mm-hmm. Let's focus on another championship at NXT, and that is the NXT North American Championship. Johnny Gargano faced off against Dexter Lumis tonight. Very weird way they're building this up. So Dexter Lumis was about to lose due to the ref being distracted, and Austin Theory was going to smash a steel chair across the back of Lumis. However, Theory would not pull the trigger on hitting him with the chair shot, as if he was like frozen in time. He was like scared. He's sitting there with the chair, and Candace is like, hit him, hit him. Even though the ref is distracted, he can clearly hear Candace say, hit him with the chair, hit him with the chair. He doesn't hit him with the chair. So Lumis ends up getting the win here. So here's the interesting part about this. Austin Theory is being forced to go to therapy now. Do we get Dr. Shelby again is the interesting question.
Yes, you got to bring back Dr. Shelby. Wrestling therapist, Dr. Shelby.
And after they're about to send Theory to therapy, Indy Hartwell chimes in and says, well, I actually think he's kind of hot, talking about Dexter Lumis. To which Indy Hartwell is now under scrutiny also and supposedly also going to therapy. So it's the way is not splitting up, but there is some tension there between – it's very obvious that Lumis and Gargano are going to be feuding over this championship. What do you think about the way they're building this up?
I mean, Lumis and Gargano feuding over it makes sense. I was surprised with what they actually did in the ring tonight with him. But all this other stuff outside of the ring is very Gaga-esque. It's very, very silly and – comedically focused, and Dynamite tried some of the things and it didn't work. They tried some other things that did work that were funny. Tonight's show was pretty serious. You know, they did a couple of goofs backstage in terms of lines and things on commentary. I didn't mind it. But I think NXT needs that. Even though this stuff seems silly, I think to the casual WWE viewer that gets pulled into that show, they want fun side characters. You can give me bang, bang, banger wrestling. The thing about Lumis is he's a cartoon character. He's a creepy, creepy dude. He's the killer in a monster movie you're rooting for. And that's what they're going for. And give it up to Gargano. He's supposed to be Johnny Wrestling. Look how this guy's evolved over the past few years. I mean, this guy used to be someone that people said, oh, great wrestler, not a great promo. But look how much character he has. And he really pulls out of people. Surprising win by Dexter Lumis tonight. I know. He choked out a champion. Like, he choked him out. They have that great visual. You can see the picture.
Submission win.
Submission win. Choked him out. And like, and then also give it up to Johnny Gargano selling this. Like, oh shit. You know, like the look on his face of like Dave Chappelle episode, Chappelle Show. It's at this point that Johnny knew he had fucked up.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah.
it was like that realization that like there's no escape. I'm screwed. And the way, even though people say Dexter Lumis isn't the greatest wrestler and he isn't this, he's a very methodical performer. He doesn't do anything he can't do. He does everything he can do as great as he can do it. Sure. And I dug this. I thought it was pretty cool. I got to catch this. I didn't get to catch the rest of the show, but I did get to catch this. I really liked it. I thought it was really, really cool. I'm surprised because I think it's gone long in the tooth. But every time I think I'm kind of like, all right, they didn't do anything with it this week, I'm out of it, right? Sometimes they do that with NXT. They don't touch on a story and they pick it up like 3 weeks later, which can get annoying. They can get annoying. I will say this, though. I like it. Thumbs up.
Awesome. So obviously another one of the strong parts NXT has over AEW is that of the women's division, which continues to build up tonight. They are pushing Zoe Stark to the moon.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of hype about her.
Gets thrown into a match tonight with Io Shirai after William Regal. After William Regal approaches her and says, "Hey, do you want a match with the champion?" And she's like, "Yeah." So I don't know what that that was quite all about. And
yeahs in the chat if you can.
Io Shirai obviously wins the match. There was a technical glitch. It was kind of weird. So Zoe Stark was giving an interview before the match, and then the camera randomly cut to Io Shirai walking into the ring. And then the camera randomly cut to the arena, which was black, and then the yellow lights came back on, and then Zoe came out.
Did the interview get cut off? Kind of like
the interview completely got cut off. Yep.
That's weird.
And then they randomly played the same video again of Io walking to the ring, like the same video.
Was this show live or was this pre-tape?
It was live, and there was a legitimate technical glitch in the show. Yeah. And one other side note here, Wade Barrett, for some reason, was remote tonight for his commentary. He wasn't at the show, so that was a little interesting.
COVID precautions. COVID precautions. Maybe someone's exposed and they do it from home and you just want to be sure. Or they have COVID and they feel they can do the show. Commentary is something I think you could do if you were...
Sure.
Some people I've heard, I know, did radio. They're like... On the tail end of COVID, they felt like it. Or they're exposed. Let's just send them home or something like that. I've been doing broadcasting from home now for a better part of a year now. People telling me this match between Io Shirai and Zoe Stark, this breakout superstar for NXT, was something else tonight.
It was very good, but the talking point was definitely after the match where Toni Storm comes out. Io tried her best to cut her promo. We know her English isn't the best, but she does, what she has to work with. She said that she would accept a challenge from Tony anywhere, anytime, any place. And Tony says, "Well, I doubt that." And Io says, "Well, I'll prove it to you. We're going to wrestle for the women's championship in 2 weeks." So in 2 weeks from now, on March 10th, they will have an NXT women's championship match on NXT TV Wednesday nights.
Kind of surprised they wouldn't go with that on one of those big nights, maybe even next week. Because that's the big week that AEW is making the play with Shaquille O'Neal.
They got two tag championship matches next week already, too, for NXT. I think at this point they know that next week's probably not their week, so maybe just try to go for the week.
They're just going to try and take the edge. Yeah, they're going to try and take the edge off somebody next week if they can. If they can take the the momentum down.
Do you think it's Tony's time? I think it is Tony time. I think it's time.
If NXT wants to do something that's surprising, and they've had some good effort in terms of moving the needle on social media, is when they do a title change on TV. They've done it a few times, right? But when they do it, it's a big deal. And the few times they've done it, it means something. I wouldn't be opposed to it. We've said for months now that Io's had her run with the title, could do something else with her. I think Io doing something that isn't title related is okay. She's had that belt since what, June, I want to say. She won it in your house from Charlotte. She's gotten out of the title what she needs. She doesn't have to be on the show for weeks and weeks on end. But when she's on, it means something. But at the same time, people are like, "All right, do something else." I think fans have not to say she doesn't deserve it, but I think she could do some other exciting things. I think her on Raw or SmackDown could be cool too, or maybe just a personal feud on NXT. I'm okay with it, and I think Tony can carry the belt.
Sure. The only other thing that might be to note to talk about tonight was Santos Escobar and Karrion Kross, which started as a brawl in the parking lot. For some reason, Legado del Fantasma showed up in a very beat up rented U-Haul to the NXT show.
What?
They
didn't get one of those like BMW, those BMW rentable like vans.
No, they just pulled up in some old rusty looking box truck. And I'll tell you why. Because Karrion Kross took a pickaxe to this whole truck, like just destroyed it. So that's obviously, cool. That's obviously probably why. But
is this the start of the match? Is this how they started?
This
the
is
match?
The start of the match. This is how they start the match.
I'm excited to see this now.
They worked their way. Those are illegal? They worked their way inside. They did a lot of, it was a lot of high spots. The match was high spots all around. It's difficult to determine why they are having Santos Escobar as a cruiserweight champion get absolutely destroyed by Karrion Kross. Now we know
is a glorified squash match where he's just kind of avoiding the finish.
Yes, and obviously Karrion Kross is over 205 pounds, so he can't challenge for the title. So he's not really a threat to Escobar.
This is a no disqualification, you attack my van with a pickaxe catchweight match. He gained some weight to meet him in the middle.
And then through the plexiglass of the Capitol Wrestling Center, through the plexiglass, through the barricade, they almost kicked Beth Phoenix in the head at the commentary table.
Oh, no, don't do that. You can't do that.
But it was a pretty good match. Mm-hmm. I'd give, the show in general. Well, first, what are your thoughts on what they're doing with Karrion Kross before I give my rating of the show?
I think this is just a holdover for Karrion Kross to do something big. Yeah. I'd be surprised if there's some type of fallout. Maybe there could be. I think there's some other things for him to do. We haven't seen Tommaso Ciampa or Timothy Thatcher since the Dusty Classic. And it seems like they kind of ice Tommaso whenever they want to bring him back to pop the room. They did do Karrion Kross and Tommaso before. I think Tommaso versus him, or maybe versus Timothy Thatcher, could be pretty cool. But you got to make it count. And if you are going to do a takeover around WrestleMania time, Karrion Kross needs to have a big match. I think he's the guy that the most casual fans want to see something done with. If somebody who loves Raw, loves SmackDown, that's a part of the routine, they tune in to see him. If they're an AEW fan, they would love to see him in AEW. If you want to see someone come over to the brand that you're loyal to, you want to see that guy wrestle. I do think this is just – I feel bad for Santos Escobar because I feel he is a defined thing with the group and everything like that. This does feel like a little bit like you're cutting the edge off him. But I think he can come back. I think he can come back from this in some way. But it's going to be a while.
I think they're in a holding pattern right now. And the reason I think they're in a holding pattern is because I think they're still not sure what they want to do as far as WrestleMania and TakeOver. I think maybe they're trying to figure out.
I wouldn't say that. I think they're kind of waiting. And they want to make a big announcement at the right time under the right terms.
Maybe when they announce ticket stuff.
Sure.
Should be soon.
Are they going to do a takeover with fans? Or are we just going to do it in the Capitol Wrestling Center? So it's like that type of thing. So.
I just don't see it happening because
I don't see them doing WrestleMania.
There's no open nights right now.
No, WrestleMania is going to be the only thing with fans.
Friday through Monday's booked up already.
Yeah. I mean, for the foreseeable future, WrestleMania is the focus with fans,
So overall,
Karrion Kross destroys him.
Yeah,
and wrecks him. That's not a surprise, but it deliver on the idea of the monster catching the scrambling villain.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Tonally, was that the same thing as Gargano and Loomis though? Because it's kind of like two monsters going after the chicken shit heel.
Yeah.
Did it feel different? They didn't feel the same. They
a little bit. It wasn't as I guess goofy, you could say.
Okay. The Gargano thing was definitely goofy. This was just brutal.
Well, if you want to talk about goofy, we had Cameron Grimes on the show tonight, and
Cameron Grimes to the moon.
You can kiss his grits, is what he says.
Stacking money.
So he approaches people. A staff member who's like my age, a male person my age, and he says,
A male person my age.
Yes. He says, if you can dribble this basketball 10 times, you know where this is coming from.
Yeah, he's doing the $1 million man thing. He's the redneck millionaire. He won all of his money on the GameStop, stock market thing.
The point is, he goes to three different people and they all dribble the basketball, so he loses $3,000. He goes to another person and he absolutely beats this guy up before he can dribble at one time. And he says, "You're not going to be able to do this." So here's where they're going with this.
And this is this multiple segments they're doing this?
This is three different, three different segments for the show. But
that's really fun.
What they're doing with this is he is slowly going to lose all of his money and be bankrupt. It's very obvious. He's giving away thousands of dollars every week. He wrecked his Lamborghini.
He's walking around Central Florida with a basketball and a bag full of money saying, "Who can dribble this basketball.
With a cowboy hat on and no shirt.
With his weird leather cowboy hat on and no shirt.
Driving a Lamborghini, which he wrecked and said it was no big deal. He'll just buy another one because he's going to go buy more GameStop stock, he said. Which it's too late for that now.
It's GameStop. He's got GameStop.
This is going to probably go on because it's obviously entertaining, but he needs there should be a program.
Yes, you just described this to me and I love it. Like, you just described this to me.
But he needs to have a match and it needs to be worth something. It just can't be like...
I'm entertained.
I go back to what I said 2 months ago. He's the R-Truth of NXT.
And that's a great role to be in. That's a fun role, dude. You get to go out there and
He's supposed to be a heel, though, and he's not looking like a heel at all.
Oh, yeah, he can be a heel. He can go out there and just be a fool, dude. He's got that cool song. I'm down with it. It's funny. It's
a he can travel to Chicago and see if you can dribble a basketball and give you $1,000.
DJ is saying he tweeted that he left $6,400 out in the parking lot.
He did do that, yeah.
That's fun, dude.
But do they really want people showing up at the building looking for this? Like, come on.
No, that is bad. Maybe that is bad. You shouldn't have people just showing up in the parking lot looking for money.
But I gave the show overall, I gave it a 7 out of 10 tonight.
7 out of 10. But tell me about the situation with MSK. They were involved in something tonight as well. And we had Killian Dane and a little buddy, Little Spike Drake Maverick in action as well. What happened with them?
James Drake and Zach Gibson, Grizzly Young Veterans, attacked MSK, and they actually injured Wesley during this, and then they bragged about it afterwards.
Yeah, and Grizzled Young Vets, they lost to MSK in the Dusty Club Finals. Yeah.
Yes, yes. They also had a little trouble tonight with Killian Dane and Drake Maverick, who continue to be that goofy, funny tag team. They seem to have taken over the role of Breezango, who have disappeared from NXT, and that's okay, I think. What do you think?
That's interesting. Kind of some fun, goofy tag teams on the under. MSK is kind of lighthearted, though, too, in a way, even though they're super fantastic. Like, that like springboard off your partner onto somebody else's finisher is impressive. But Grizzled Young Veterans are mean men. They are NXT's answer to FTR. They are a mean tag team that you know delivers great tag team wrestling and mean promos. And you just want to see them get beat up by the good guys. That's what they're going for. They're a traditional heel tag team. I'm surprised. What about Oney Lorcan and
Dan? Yeah, no tag champs tonight.
Which is weird because MSK has the title shot next week.
Yeah.
They won the Dusty Club. They beat Dusty Club. Dusty Cup. They beat GYV, who's now attacking them this week because of that, in retribution for it.
And but, Pete Dunne either.
And no Pete Dunne. It's kind of surprising. No vignettes either? No. Come on. What's going on there? Come on. Keep the villains hot. And you just I get the curveball, but keep the villains hot. I don't get that. All right. So you said a 7.5, dog?
Seven.
Why not a 7.5, dog?
I don't know. I guess this goes back to what I said a couple months ago with the slow pace they're going at. It's almost like, because you don't know what the next pay-per-view is. You don't know what the next big show is.
You want to see an end point. You want
to know. When it comes to the main roster, you always know the next pay-per-view. You always know the next big thing. When it comes to NXT, it's like you don't know when the next pay-per-view is because they never say it until like a few weeks before.
I understand it. Maybe they have something set for WrestleMania. Maybe they do something that week after WrestleMania. Who knows? You know, maybe they just want to have a big NXT takeover on TV, right? Do they want to go for that angle?
Maybe they do a Peacock special on the first when they move on March 18th.
Yeah, and they're waiting to announce something with that as well. So
because remember that's a Thursday, so it would be the night before on NXT. It would be the next morning.
The WWE move, they're taking in the United States. You guys may have known this if you're living under a rock following wrestling. Just about, this is less than a month now. The WWE Network going to be moving over, just under a month, is going to be moving over to NBC Universal's Peacock streaming service. And there continues to be such misinformation about this. Now, WWE is getting ahead of this with a frequently asked questions page. There are some things they're adding to it as it gets closer to that day. It's going to be cheaper, guys. They're not taking anything away from you. You're getting your pay-per-views. I heard someone, we were dealing with people on Facebook today. They were saying, there's not going to be pay-per-views on it. Yes, there is. You're going to get everything you would get on the WWE Network before, plus everything else that NBC Universal has, like every episode of Office and SNL and all that stuff. So
they might be keeping both of them online for a while, as we've seen them advertise. Yes. The Fastlane will be on both platforms. So
that was a recent change. So when the Peacock deal was announced, it was said like March 18th, and then the first network special we're going to do with Peacock is going to be the March 21st one. I don't mind that. Give yourself 2 weeks to, you know, maybe even a month to get people migrated over to the new thing.
Yeah, and it could be a sign that the migration is going a little, you know, having a little trouble, you know, just a thought. Mm-hmm. And then keep in mind that they're also going to advertise the WWE Network, because if you're not in the United States, that's how you'll watch it. So yeah. when you're watching your WrestleMania and they're saying, you know, on WWE Network, it's because they still are on WWE Network, just not in the United States.
Yeah, it varies. You know, some people get it through a cable system. Rogers in Canada specifically does it through a cable system, so they have different deals like that. So I know we'll get different questions from people internationally about that. We have plenty of people listening to the show internationally. Thank you guys so much, by the way, putting us on the Apple Sports Podcast charts in over 10 countries in the last 6 weeks. I'm really appreciative of that. Thank you so, so much. If you are listening to this, go ahead and give us a 5-star review. All right, I appreciate that. So much content, by the way. We have so much stuff. We're going to be dropping a new episode of WCW Rewritten tomorrow. Our continuing fantasy booking series of WCW. We have Meet the Wrestler, highlighting periodically independent wrestlers still trying to make it work in a pandemic, and so much more. SmackDown Double Down dropping for you on the weekends. Catch up on that show. Thank you guys so much for checking out the show. If you haven't done already, go and give us a follow on all the social media. Search WrestleZone. All right, WrestleZone.com. Don't go to the fake ones. You're looking for that red and black logo, WZ, since 1997, baby. You can follow me at Kev Kellum. And John Clark, where can they follow you?
John R. Clark 12.
Right, John R. Clark 12, baby. And, of course, you can see me live on stage, Valparaiso, Indiana. I will be doing a socially distant, safe comedy show, two shows, including a late show. If you know anyone in the Midwest, if you know anyone in Indiana, tell them about it. Tell them about it. Market Lounge, I'll be headlining there. It's going to be a really, really good time. Tell your friends, this is the slow build back to live entertainment. John, have you started to see some small events advertised by you in Pennsylvania as we kind of crawl slowly out of the pandemic? You know,
I mean, kind of, but obviously for the quick update, I still have not had any luck with getting tickets.
So. Yeah, you haven't heard about WrestleMania tickets yet. So
no,
John is going down to Tampa. He's got his flights. He's got his rental car. He's got his place where he's going to stay. But what about these WrestleMania tickets? So we're waiting for that. We don't have any new information about it. We ask consistently. Thank you guys so much for watching. Shout out to the Stephen Chambers, the DJs, the people that are with us who watch hours and hours of our stuff every single week. Thank you guys so much. To the new people joining the show, I saw some new people join the show. I love you guys. Join the party. Get on the virtual couch with us, man. This is a very inclusive show. I want everyone to feel like they're a part of it. And continue to have fun. We're going to do some fun things before WrestleMania. I didn't talk about it yet, but if you share this show, you've watched for over an hour. That's why I waited to show the teaser here. This is a Road to WrestleMania activity book. You can win it. All right. Let's look at before we end the show. You want to read a question? You want to read a question here? Okay. All right. Let me flip through it here. Look, you get a word scramble. All right. You get activities here. You can do this on a road trip. Okay. All right. Undertaker's opponents, and they blur out the opponents that he took on at various different shows. Let's see how many of these you can get. You ready, John? We'll end the show with this.
Okay.
Undertaker defeated who at WrestleMania 31? WrestleMania 31.
Was it Shane McMahon?
Bray Wyatt. It was Bray Wyatt. Undertaker defeated who at WrestleMania 28?
28. That was Triple H. It's
Triple H, you're absolutely right. Undertaker defeated who at WrestleMania 21?
Orton.
Orton, you're absolutely correct. Undertaker defeated who at WrestleMania 23? 2007.
Detroit. Batista.
Batista, you're absolutely right. Let's see if we can do this one. I think this one might be easier. Undertaker defeated who? Let's see if you can see that blurred picture, if I can show that up here quickly. That blurred picture right there. All right. Who did he defeat in that picture?
Shawn Michaels.
It's fun. This is a fun book.
Why did you bring the CM Punk one up? That was the one you could have brought up.
If you know a young wrestling fan who's just getting into it and they enjoy the trivia and stuff like that, and you want them to learn the history of wrestling, this is really cool for them. Or if you're just a fan and you love puzzles, I know a lot of people got into puzzles in the pandemic. There's a ton of puzzles in this as well. We have multiple of these to give away. We'll be giving them away in the weeks ahead of WrestleMania. Go ahead and share the link so you don't stink. Share it with your friends. If you don't want to share it on your own socials, go to those message boards and stuff like that too. And make sure you tag us so that we know you're doing it. Thank you guys so much. Remember, when watching wrestling, do the most important thing, which is what?
Enjoy wrestling.
Enjoy wrestling indeed. See you guys. Bye.